Okay, cool. So we're going to be looking at how to pray through your day. And my first slide is getting you to think about those relationships that you have with people in general, and just thinking about what information would you share with an acquaintance, your neighbour, your work colleague, your boss, a friend, a family member, your best friend or your spouse, and actually thinking that you're probably not going to be sharing your holiday snaps with your boss, and you're not going to be talking to your neighbour about like your financial business and what's going on with your accounts and things, and actually just that sense of that each relationship that we have with every single different person that we know, there's that different level of interaction, different level of authenticity, engagement, commitment, accountability, that personal level of interest, and actually that vulnerability. You're not going to be sharing your deepest, darkest secrets with your boss. But actually in prayer, this is where we can come to God with everything that we have in our life. He's interested in everything. He's interested in the small. He's interested in the big. He's interested about the fact that you didn't get a good night's sleep last night because maybe your child was awake. He's interested in the house moves. He's interested in the issues and the pains and the grief and the sort of the difficult patches in our lives, as well as in the good things, the birthdays, the celebrations and the excitements. But it's our responsibility and our duty to actually switch on with God. It's actually about a relationship. It's about that commitment. It's about that connection. There's no point just sat there, I guess, a bit like me at the beginning, kind of not talking. Let's be honest, I needed to talk in order to sort of pick up things. So actually, that's a lovely illustration that I didn't intend to do this morning. But yeah, actually, I needed to give something of me in order to check whether that was working and sort of interacting with me. So we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18. And it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. And it's not a single moment type thing that you can tick off and go, yep, I've done that, next. But actually it's relevant and it's applicable to our lives day in, day out. It's about the corporate, it's about the collective, it's about us as church, but then it's also about us as individuals as well. And I was really struck with the pray without ceasing. Actually, if we're not careful, we can get hung up on sort of that thing of going, but I don't do it all the time, 24/7. How am I going to do this? So I ended up looking in the Greek and found out that the word adialoptos means constantly recurring. There was somebody that I heard or read talking about, actually, when you've got a bad cold and a bad cough, you don't cough 100% all of the time. But actually, you're aware of that cough because you probably cough quite a lot, and it's that constant recurring. And actually, that's how our prayers should be like throughout the day. It should be that sort of constant sort of recurring sort of theme, a constant recurring prayer. It might be the same thing, or it might be on different things. Another way it's translated in the Greek is without omission, that actually you can talk to God about anything and everything. Actually, he wants to be involved in all of your life. It's not just about the religious stuff that we do, but actually he's interested in everything. It's that sense of nothing's too big, nothing's too small, nothing's too taboo to actually talk to God about it. And then there's also that sense of being wholehearted and that indistinguishable nature that actually, for me, prayer is conversation. Actually, if someone had a little microphone and was recording my day in and day out interactions with different people, actually, they should hear me talking to God in the similar sort of manner, just actually him being interested in me, interested in my day, and actually not being able to identify the difference between sort of almost like the secular sort of things that I talk about and then the spiritual things as well. So I want us to focus on actually our relationship with God. We all have those priority relationships that actually there's certain people in your life that you want to spend time with, you want to hang out with, you want to text and tell them what you had for tea or what you watched on TV or that you're doing something exciting. And actually that's what it should be like for us as Christians, that actually we should have that go-to, that priority relationship being with God. And actually that question of how involved is he in our lives? Prayer is not a monologue. It's not just the case of us talking to God and then going, bye, thanks, you've listened. But actually it's a dialogue. Dialogue means to talk with two people and actually be willing and be sort of open to actually hearing back from him as well. My next point, the quote says, religion is a guy in church thinking about fishing, but a relationship is a guy out fishing thinking about God. And for me, it's the case of, how do you relate to this? Where do you connect with God? Is it the case of that you come here on a Sunday and actually in the middle of the service your mind wanders and you begin to be thinking about what maybe you're having for lunch or what sort of jobs you've got to do when you get back home? Or actually, are you in work thinking about God? And for me, actually, I connect with God in my classroom. I'm a teacher. And actually, when I'm teaching, there are moments when I'm talking to my children, but in my head, I'm going, God, how can I get them to understand this new piece of knowledge? God, there's a situation with these two kids where they've fallen out, and actually, one of them's probably not telling the truth. God, give me wisdom, give me discernment in terms of how I can actually respond to both of their needs and actually help them through this situation. God, I've got a lesson observation. The head's going to be coming in a couple of hours, and or maybe a couple of weeks. What do you want me to teach? And actually involving him in my daily routine, the mundane, the marking, the prep, the planning, and actually seeing him working in that. I mean, Matthew 28, verse 20, it says, I am always with you. So it's not the case of on a Sunday evening, I sort of go, thanks, it's been great hanging out with you, God. But actually on a Monday morning, I'm prepared to take him into my school, into my classroom, into my environment, and actually have him working alongside me during my day. So how do you get to know someone? For me, I go and have coffee with them. I go and hang out. I go, I want to hang out with you. Let's go for coffee. Let's chat. Let's make it really informal. But actually, I want to find out. I want to know more about you. It's that showing an interest in people. It's that seeking out opportunities to connect. It's investing relationships. It's the same with God. It's the same with Jesus. Question is, do you know him? Do you want to know him? Do you want to have that intimate relationship with him? Go for coffee with him. Actually go on your own, sit in a coffee shop with your Bible, with your notebook. And it's great. People might think you're weird that you're having coffee for one, but actually it's just giving that time aside sometimes to actually be hanging out to hear what he wants to say to you. Check out his word. Check out the Bible. He's got loads of stuff that Jesus in particular talks about and says about prayer and says, actually, this is how I want you to pray. This is how we should pray. But actually, if you look at the times when Jesus prayed and how Jesus prayed, you will see that he prayed throughout his day, day and night, with his disciples, on his own, up mountains, by rivers. He is praying constantly. Prior to the selection of the 12 in Luke 6, he's actually talking about, God, who do you want me to hang out with? Who do you want me to invest my life into? When he's seeing needs in others, when people have died or when people are ill or sick, he's praying. In Gethsemane, before he's arrested in a garden in the middle of the night, he's still praying. He's praying throughout his day. And our strength can come from that intimacy of actually knowing God, knowing that we can't do life on our own. And Kevin was talking a couple of weeks ago about our relationship and that intimacy and that being born out of our identity in Christ, in being sons and daughters of the King, being sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. And even sort of thinking about sharing the good news like they were doing at Messy Church, actually, we need to be moistened by time spent with God. We need to actually interact with him so we can go out into our communities and talk to our friends, our colleagues about him. And I guess it's that sort of that challenge of how can we be talking to others about God if we're not prepared to talk to him about those people that are in our lives that actually matter to us and that are important to us. On my phone, there's an application called WhatsApp, and it's great because obviously you can connect, you can sort of chat, you can sort of message. Even when you're abroad, it's great to sort of keep in contact with people. And what I love about it is you can actually see when the last time that person last connected in with WhatsApp. So I sort of scrolled down my contacts recently, and Matt, my cousin, last time he was on was the 6th of March, which was quite a long time ago now. My friend Dave, he was last on it on Thursday at 23:39. Holly, apparently, is online, and it's just that sense of actually you can see when other people are online at the same time as you. And if you sort of ping someone a message and they're online, actually it's great because you can see that it says typing and you get really excited. Oh, they're going to message me. What are they going to say? And it's just that sense of God is there constantly online. He's constantly typing. He's constantly wanting to engage and to interact with us. But the question is, are we willing and wanting to engage and interact with him? I often find that it's those, wow, look at those moments. I love being with people. I love sort of walking around and exploring new cities with people and actually going, wow, look at that, look at this. And that's how I sort of communicate with people. Sometimes they're quite practical texts, but sometimes the relational texts. It's just a, I saw this and thought of you sort of moments. And that's actually how we should be with God in our walk with him. Actually, we should have those, oh, I saw this and thought of you. I saw this and thought of that. I thought of this. And it made me think about this scripture that we were looking at and think, and then praying out of those situations. I know that when I'm driving, I'll see registration numbers that randomly prompt me to pray for different people just because of the setup of the numbers or the letters and things like that. And actually that for me is God going, you need to pray. So it's just quick, easy, simple. Prayer is not a spare wheel, though. Please do not think that it's just a spare wheel for when you get a blowout or an emergency. It's a quick fix thing, but actually it's a steering wheel. It directs the path throughout, not just when you're in trouble. It's directional and it's purposeful. You think about a car without a steering wheel, it doesn't matter how good the wheels are, how good the engine is, actually, you're not going to get very far because you won't be going in the right direction. So who better to be in touch with than God, the author and perfecter of our faith, the person who actually made you, the person who knows you so incredibly well? Why would you not want to spend time with him and asking him about your day and your situations? Are you prepared as well to listen to him and to actually have him direct your path and to direct your footsteps? I mean, for me, I'm a teacher. I was applying for jobs and I came across this job and it was a maternity post, 12 months. And I thought, God, it's only going to be 12 months. Like, what is the point in applying for that job? You just think, I want to be somewhere permanent. I want to be somewhere long term. And yet he goes, apply for it. And I go and I get the interview and I get the job. And I'm there for 12 months, and then I'm there for another 12 months, and I'm there for another 2 years, and I'm still in that job. And you think, God, if I had gone with my heart's desire, am I going, oh, but it's only a maternity job, and actually I hadn't felt that he'd said apply for it anyway, my life would be completely different. I wouldn't have met those children that I interact with. I wouldn't have met the staff that I know, that I wouldn't have had those experiences over the last 4 years. I still wouldn't be within that community if I hadn't actually given him the opportunity to speak to me through prayer. Ephesians 6, verse 18 says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. For this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." And for me, again, it's that on all occasions with all kinds of prayers, even through the tough times. I mean, there's obviously, it just feels to be this theme that's coming through today, actually going, even in the silence, God is still there. God is still listening. And actually, if you can't pray with your words, use tears. I was thinking about this yesterday. Monday and Wednesday for me were particularly sort of tearful. And actually yesterday just got that real sense of God cares and God understands about the tears. And I went and I looked in the Bible and it says in Psalm 56, verse 8, tears are prayers too. They travel to God when you can't speak. So actually be encouraged. If you have cried this week, whether it's tears of joy or tears of sadness, actually those are prayers as well. And even sort of thinking, well, this water bottle that Dale was holding up, actually it's almost like God collects those tears of sadness and of joy, and actually in the right time, in the right season, he will allow you to spray those experiences and those revelations out for his glory and for his goodness and for his benefit unto those people in your lives as well. It's about dependency, like Susanna was saying this morning. It's about dependency. It's about trust. Easter Sunday is coming. To pray is to accept that we are and always will be wholly dependent on God for everything. Is the spirit of dependency there in your life? Do you wake up in the morning knowing that you need him? Do you go to work knowing that you need him? Do you interact with your children, your spouse, your housemates, your workmates, your college mates, whoever, knowing that actually you need God in your life? It's the fact that you can be talking to them at the same time as talking to him, going, God, how do you want me to honor and glorify you in this conversation? God, how do you want me to respond to this, to that, to the other? It's about breathing as well. You would not go through your day not breathing. It would just be pointless. You would die pretty quickly. And actually, as Christians, if we're not careful, we sometimes feel that we don't need to breathe, that actually we're going to hold our breath, that we're going to breathe on Sunday because we're with God's people and it's cool and it's acceptable and this is what we do. And then you stop breathing on Monday and you think, well, I won't bother breathing on Tuesday or Wednesday, and I'll wait until maybe midweek group, or I'll wait until Sunday again until I can breathe. It's, we wouldn't do that in the physical, so why do it in the spiritual? Why not continue to connect with God? Breathing is normal, it's natural, and for most of us, we don't even think about breathing. The only times when we think about breathing is when we're sick and we're poorly, and actually, that's when prayer is hard. That's when you go, God, this is really hard, this is difficult, I prayed about this situation, why is there not any breakthrough? And that's when you realise that you're praying. And also, you breathe heavily after exercise. It's almost like there's a dedicated prayer meeting when you're praying about a specific thing and you're coming together. That's when we notice when we're properly praying and breathing and things like that. But actually, we're breathing all the time, so why shouldn't we be praying all the time just like that? Oswald Chambers as well says this about it. If we think of prayer as breath of our lungs and the blood from our hearts, we think rightly. The blood flows and the breathing continues. We are not conscious of it, but it's always going on. Martin Luther King Jr. also says, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. So, prayer is not a posture of the body. You don't have to get down on your hands and knees, although actually sometimes there is that sense of surrender and sacrifice and going, I'm going to honour you, God, so with posturing yourself. But actually it's about the posture of your heart. It's about your lifestyle. Prayer is more personal and powerful when we accept it, not as a daily or daunting task, but as a way of life. And my question to you is, well, what information are you willing to share with him? Are you desiring a greater level of intimacy with God? Do you want more authenticity in your faith, more engagement, a focused commitment, that sort of greater depth of him knowing you more, even though he already knows you anyway, but that sort of sense of sharing, actually being accountable, that intimacy, that vulnerability that comes with prayer, because ultimately that is something that is going to empower you, that's going to give you the strength. And he just says, come as you are, spend time with me, not just on a Sunday, not just in midweek group, not just first thing in the morning or last thing at night, but spend the whole entire day just focused, mindful that I am there with you, mindful that I want to spend time with you, and mindful that actually I want to impact not only your life, but the life of others around you.
Wow. Follow that then. The good news is, for those of you who are thinking, I didn't get to write that down, that was a really good point, I've forgotten that bit, or I want to think about that again, is that actually the PowerPoint goes on the website. So if there's more you want to go over with this again, because there was a lot in what Sarah said, if you want to go over it again, the PowerPoint will be on the website. And on Tuesday, we will be doing a look at this more in depth in groups or whatever your midweek group is. So if you want to come along to that, do. So this is my chunk, my section. I was reminded that how we started this series, this whole series of talks on prayer, and we started off with Joel and Rachel talking about, do I really want to grow in God? Do I want to mature my relationship? And what Sarah's described there is deepening our relationship with God. But actually what she's also pulled out is that it's a really natural process. It's not supposed to be something that we struggle with, that we strive with. That 1 Thessalonians verse that we looked at, I looked at that and I thought that the pray without ceasing bit, it's one of those things that you can look at it and you can feel condemned by it, can feel quite heavy. Without ceasing, that means non-stop, that means not giving up. It means in those Easter Saturday moments, it means not giving up. It feels quite hard, and it feels really difficult. So what I wanted to look at was a little bit of the practical about things that might help. How do I pray all day? It's supposed to look like the picture on the left. It's supposed to be freedom. It's supposed to be encouraging. It's supposed to be life-giving, this relationship with God. It's not supposed to look like the picture on the right, where it's a real struggle and a striving to get it right, to get this, to try harder. It's not supposed to be like that. It doesn't help when we feel obliged to do it. When we read that verse that says, pray without ceasing, and we think, I've got to try and keep praying all day. I can remember, certainly as a parent, but also I remember doing it as a child, having to write Christmas letters, thank you letters after Christmas. And I don't know about anybody who's a parent in here and the letters that their children produced at that point. But in terms of communication with the person that were receiving those letters, and actually I've received them as well, they're not the most exciting letters to receive because they're forced. There's something that the child has been told to do. It doesn't flow naturally. It's something that they're encouraged to do because it's a good thing to do. And sometimes our prayer life can feel a bit like that. I'm supposed to pray. So we sit down and I go, okay, God, I've got to pray. Don't know what to pray. I'll try the Lord's Prayer. Well, the Lord's Prayer is not meant to be a formula. It's not meant to be something that we pray by rote necessarily. It's a pattern. It's to give us ideas about what kind of things to pray. And I know that we looked at that earlier in this series, and if you want to look back earlier in the series and listen to some of them again. But similarly, things like when you've got a child away at uni and you say, you must phone me every day on Sunday so I know how you're getting on. And it becomes an obligation. I've got to phone mum or I've got to phone dad on Sunday afternoon. And it becomes an interruption for some of us. When we try and timetable in slots with God, it can feel a bit like that. It can feel like it's an obligation. And then we end up feeling guilty because we haven't done it or we've missed it or we've shortened it. Or I can only manage to pray for 5 minutes and there's all those people I read about who pray for hours and hours. So it's one thing having a date with God, but saying I must spend 20 minutes. Imagine if you went on a date and did that. Imagine how that would make the other person feel. Well, you know, you can have, I've got a 2-hour date, so yes, we'll go. No, your time's up now, I've got to go. And it doesn't make them feel very good, and actually it isn't very encouraging for you either. It's not a natural approach, is it? So the alarms that you set on your phone, or the lists that you make, or things to try and help you remember to pray, I think they kind of miss the point somewhere. They become meaningless, because actually it's supposed to come out of our relationship. And if nothing else has come out of this series, it's that it's supposed to be about a relationship. It has come through pretty much every week that we've looked at this series. It's about a relationship. And so for me, I think about kind of the three aspects really through my day. Sometimes I need to remember that I'm going through my day holding my Father's hand. I need to remember that I'm a loved child. I need to know that he's got me in those moments where I'm feeling scared or unprepared or overwhelmed, or I'm feeling like things aren't going to come through, those times when I need the job or the house or the whatever it is, those moments, I need my Heavenly Father. I need him to hang on to me. I need him to protect me. I need him to provide for me. I need to know that I'm loved and cherished. Those times are when I need the Father's love and I need to hang on like a small child. Actually, that's why Jesus came. And for you this morning, if you are somebody in here this morning, you don't even have the beginning of a relationship with your Heavenly Father, I would like to invite you to come and meet him this morning. This could be a really special day. He has paid a phenomenal price to get to know you. If you don't know him in the way we're describing today, that is the most important thing that you need to do today, is to get to know him. It is indescribable. Jesus loves you like nobody else. He came and he died for you. How many people in your life have you got that would go through what he went through for you? He is a phenomenal, phenomenal person, and you will never meet anybody else like him. And so if you haven't ever met him, please come and meet him this morning. Sometimes I need to think about my day as walking through my day with Jesus. I need the companionship. I need to know that he's beside me, that I'm not alone. Actually, he promises that I'm never alone. He's always with me. And I need to listen to the shepherd's voice. I need to listen for his encouragement, for his direction, like Sarah was talking about. And then I need to stay in tune with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you recognize these things. When I was in my teens, I had a little tiny transistor radio that looked a bit like this one on here on the right. And if you look on the side, there's a little tiny wheel. And you had to use that little tiny wheel to tune it in. Those of you of a certain age will remember. Those of you with things, all things digital or online, will have no clue what I'm talking about. But it was very difficult. The dial, it was a bit like that. And you can see, and you'd move it a little tiny bit, and then it would just go too far the other way. And you'd try and move it a little bit back, and it would just go a little bit the other way. And you'd end up with this white noise, kind of noise, and trying to tune in. And the radio stations were really close together, and you had to be really precise. And it kind of depended where you were in the room, and you had to keep moving the radio. And living at Nenthead, the connection was never brilliant anyway. And it's a bit like that for us. We can end up with white noise that gets in the way of our connection. And I'll come back to that thought in a little while about what is the white noise that gets in the way of the connection. But Holy Spirit is critical to our connection with Jesus. We cannot have a connection through Jesus to the Father without Holy Spirit. We need him. He's the power. He's the one that helps us connect. He's the one who joins the dots. Without him, it becomes religion. It becomes trying to do it in our own strength. And I've tried to do it in my own strength and not done very well. Without him, it's like pushing that boulder up the hill. So he is the one who enables us, who comforts us, who guides us, who shows us how to do things. He's the teacher. When we say, how do we pray? He's the one who shows us what to pray and how to pray. Tony Gray talked a couple of weeks back about tuning into what Holy Spirit wants to help us pray. And he helps us to know what to pray and how to pray. He gives us that ability. And of course, if we're in tune with the Holy Spirit and walking like that, one of the things that comes out of all of that is that we end up growing the fruits of the Spirit. So we end up full of love, full of joy, full of peace, full of patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness. All of those things, self-control, all those things we desperately need, he fills us up. And it's a natural outworking of being full of the Holy Spirit. So we need to start our day well. How do we start our day? There's a smorgasbord of breakfast here. Actually, I choose most mornings to have breakfast with Jesus. That's how I start my day. And one of the things that helps me do that is it's in Psalm 100, verse 4, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And that bit is about how do I enter into the presence of God? If we start there, if we worship, if we become aware of the holiness of God, if we become aware of how amazing he is, how mighty he is, how powerful he is, how loving he is, how kind he is, if we worship him and become aware of that presence, that's something we can carry with us throughout the day. And that, for me, is part of how I retune throughout the day. I just take a moment and I thank him. Thank him for being with me. Thank him for being good. Thank him for loving me. Thank him for coming. Thank him for never leaving me. All of those things that come out of what I've been reading. It sets the tone, but it also is how I retune the dial, as it were. There are various people in the Bible. Sarah's already mentioned, obviously, Jesus, but also people like Daniel who had planned times of prayer. They habitually prayed at certain times, but also the spontaneous times like Sarah was describing about those moments throughout the day. Actually, the Bible, for me, the Bible and prayer are interlinked. I don't know how you read the Bible without praying, because it's one of the main ways that God talks to me. So it's part of the to and fro. I read a bit and I talk to him about what I've read, and it becomes a dialogue. It's not just words that you read and shut the book. It's part of how he's speaking. So having that at the beginning of the day also sets the tone for the day. And I understand the people who go, I'm not a morning person, and I can't just sit for half an hour and read, I'll fall asleep, or whatever it is. Actually, if you look at that breakfast there, it's about variety. I don't always do the same thing. I change it up. Sometimes I listen to something, sometimes I read, sometimes I sing, sometimes I sit. But it's about being in the presence of God at the beginning of the day and staying there. So I reread recently a book by Brother Lawrence called The Practice of the Presence of God. And he says, I do nothing else but abide in his presence. And I do this by simple attentiveness and a habitual loving turning of my eyes upon him. That retuning of the dial, turning your eyes back onto Jesus throughout the day. So as Sarah's described, throughout the day, that turning back, pulling God into each moment. It's not just he's in his box in the morning, but it's throughout the day. And actually, there are so many promises in the Bible about what the advantages are of living in the presence of God. There's mercy and grace to help in time of need. There's goodness and satisfaction and holiness. There's times of refreshing. There's strength and safety. There's fullness of joy. There's rest. And actually, it says mountains tremble. And for some of us, there are some mountains in our lives that we'd like to make tremble. Maybe you have a mountain of need this morning that you'd like to make tremble. In the presence of God, the mountains in your lives tremble. So maybe it's fear, despair, sickness, addiction, joblessness, whatever it is, what mountain do you want to make tremble? And so keeping that channel open, how do we do that throughout the day? Sarah talked about being aware of our dependence, our need to be dependent on him. There are things throughout my day that are too big for me, that I need his wisdom for. Those are really easy moments to cry out to God and say, help, I need your help. And actually, we often remember him in those spare wheel moments. That's really easy. But actually, there are other things. And these, for me, are some of the things that have helped me. And the pictures are just to help remind you what I've said. So the first thing I've talked about is worship, the bottom left there. I worship. Somewhere in my day, I often have worship music on, even at work. I'm privileged to be able to listen to worship music at work. I appreciate not everybody can do that. But actually, I sing when I'm not listening to worship. So I often sing. And I often sing in tongues. If you have the gift of tongues, use it. It is a massive, massive thing to help you keep that channel open between you and God. It's huge. I think we completely underestimate the power of it. If you are not filled with the Holy Spirit and you don't have that gift and you'd like to have it, we'd love to pray for you at the end. And one of the things in the last couple of years that I have grown in is hearing God's voice. I have done everything I can to practice hearing his voice, to learn to hear his voice, to get better at hearing his voice. I have gone on courses, I have read books, I have just sat, I have talked to him about it, I've told him how much I need to do it, I've tried different things that different people have said to me, because actually the promise is that we hear his voice. The reality is there is somebody who was there right back in the garden, who would like you to believe that you have not heard right. The enemy, Satan, is still telling you that you have not heard his voice. He tells you every time you think you've heard something from God, that you didn't, or you got it wrong, or you misheard, or you misunderstood, or you made it up. He does not want you to hear the shepherd's voice. I wonder why. Actually, he's a liar. It says he's the father of lies. We are able to hear his voice. You are all able to hear his voice. And he has good things to say for you. I asked him questions. Having practiced the hearing his voice, I ask God questions about everything and anything. And he's only too keen to answer very often. Why don't I do that, God? Why do I feel like that, God? Why do I feel upset right now? Why do I feel angry when that happens? I want to get closer to him. I want to feel closer. I want to walk closer to him. Why do I not feel patient? Why do I not feel love for this person? Why do I not feel joy? I ask him questions and listen to his answers and then do something about what he tells me. Sometimes I sit in silence. I might put some music on. I might just soak in his presence, put some worship music on and just sit and allow him to speak to me through the words of the song. And sometimes I fast. And that has, I know it's not a popular thing often, but it helps. Because actually, I choose to go hungry in order to increase my hunger for God. Or I choose to fast from other things that take me away from God. Anything that does not take me towards God, I'd like to get rid of it. So I fast sometimes, but not lots. And so we come to the last bit. So what is it that stops me? Why do I not pray all day? Why do I not have that connection open all day? What are the things that get in the way? Well, the first key is your relationship. Sarah asked, how is your relationship with God? What is it like? Do you have a relationship with God? If he's like an acquaintance or somebody that you work with, you're going to find it difficult to keep up a conversation with him all day. I don't know about you, but some of the people that I'm just acquainted with, I find it hard to do more than say, hello, how are you? And then I think, I don't know enough about you to have an in-depth conversation with you. If you're only acquainted with God, you'll find it hard to have a long conversation with him throughout the day. If you'd like to know him better, we would love to pray for you. If you'd like to start a relationship with Jesus, we'd love to pray for you. Or if you'd like to just know more about what that looks like, we'd love to talk to you. Continuous prayer is a natural result of an intimate relationship. Continually talking with somebody grows out of that intimacy. When you know somebody really well, you can start and stop conversations without having to have the formal bit. You just dip in and out. When Sarah talked about using the app on her phone, in each one of those little bits of the conversation, we don't go, hi, it's Holly, how are you, at the beginning of each one. We just carry on because they know who it is and it's part of a continuous conversation. You can see what the last thing was that they said and it continues. And it's the same with God. It's good to worship him. It's good to come into his presence. That's how we come into his presence. But he knows who I am. He knows how I'm feeling. He knows what's going on in my life. He knows what happened 10 minutes ago. He knows how I woke up. He knows whether I had a good night's sleep or not. He knows what my day is like. He knows every single thing about your life. He knows more than your family know. He knows more than your wife or husband knows, or your mom or dad. He knows everything about your life. And he loves you. And he wants to help you and be involved in your life. It's not that he wants to condemn or judge you or wag a finger and tell you off. He wants to let you hold on to his hand like that small child. He wants to walk with you with his arm around your shoulder. He wants to help you. So the barriers that get in the way of that relationship, the things that get in the way. One of the big things that gets in the way of our relationship is sin. God is a holy God. And that sin gets in the way of our relationship with him. That's why Jesus came, to make the way open. But when we sin, it's not that he says, get away from me, I don't want you anymore. It just gets in the way. Like when I upset a friend, like when I do something to a friend, it kind of gets in the way between us because it's there. We both know about it. And until we've sorted it out, it gets in the way of our relationship. Sin is like that with God. So I just want to pause for a minute. I just want you to close your eyes. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. This is between you and God. If you just close your eyes, and I want you to repeat after me, Father God, is there anything that I have done that has upset you? And whatever comes to mind is God speaking to you. Whatever came to your mind, you have a choice at this point. God is big on choice. He allows you to choose to follow him or not. He allows you to choose to get rid of that sin or not. He has made it possible. He has made a way for you to get rid of that. Actually, he's made a ridiculously unfair, simple way for us to get rid of it. It says in 1 John that if we confess it, that means I did it, acknowledging to God that I did it. If we confess it, he forgives us. He wipes it clean. And he puts that relationship right again. And we all need to do that every day, all day. Now, I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up and tell me what he said. You'll be relieved to hear. But actually, that is part of the process of retuning the dial, isn't it? Of stopping the barrier. It may be that actually some of the barriers in your life are things like fear. And we think it's normal to fear, but actually fear is putting our trust in what the enemy plans and not what God plans. That's not faith. And it says in the Bible that if it's not faith, it's sin. Unforgiveness is another big one. And it might be that you need to forgive somebody. And you can do the same process. You can just pause, you can close your eyes and you can say, God, is there anybody I need to forgive? And the name that drops into your mind is somebody that he will remind you of, who you need to forgive. And actually, sometimes I don't know what I need to forgive that person for. So I ask him and he tells me. You can hear, it's the thought comes into your mind. That's how you hear. So we're just going to pause and do that. If you just want to close your eyes. Father God, is there anybody I need to forgive? If a name came into your mind and you're not sure, you can ask God if you're not sure what you have to forgive them for. If you know, then the response is, I choose to forgive. And forgiveness is a choice. It's not about how you feel. It's about choosing, because that thing gets in the way of you and God. So I choose to forgive Fred for whatever he did to me. And I choose to bless him and release him from all the harm that he's done to me. And it takes away that barrier. One of the other main barriers that stops us from praying is that we believe wrong things about God, about prayer, about ourselves. We don't believe that God is good. We don't believe that he hears us. We don't believe that he's interested in my little life. We have beliefs that are based on stuff from our past. Well, if he'd really loved me, he wouldn't have let this happen or that happen. So therefore, I can't trust him. And so we believe that he's not good and he doesn't love us. So why would you talk to somebody about the intimate details of your life if you don't trust him? That's a barrier and a hindrance to your relationship with God. And your expectations of what will happen when you pray also stop you from praying. So, do I believe that he's going to speak to me? Do I believe that he's going to hear me? Do I think he's going to answer me? Actually, Susanna talked about that Saturday moment. But Joel reminded us that our expectations can be much more than just, well, it might be okay, or it might work out. Actually, we can have expectations of great things because we are loved by a great God. And then one of the other things for me, and actually it is one of the things that I have to fight, is distraction. We can be too busy. Our lives can get really, really busy. And I wonder who it is that distracts us. Sometimes we can get distracted in here, especially if it's a long morning. And those things help the enemy take us away from God. Actually, he's the one who ultimately wants to distract us, whether it's with thoughts of food or thoughts of who's looking cute or what's happening on my phone or what I've got to do this afternoon or whatever it is. Actually, Satan doesn't mind what he uses to distract you as long as he manages to distract you. And so all of this clutters our life. It becomes the white noise that stops that dial from being tuned in and blocks the connection. There is other stuff, but we'll stop with that. So this morning, those are some of the things that you might recognize that stop you. And actually, what I'd like to do this morning is to invite you, if any of that has resonated at all, and you would like someone to pray with you, please come and get some prayer. Please don't go home with your relationship with God stuck somewhere or feeling stuck, whether you're feeling stuck in Easter Saturday and with no hope of Easter Sunday, or whether you're feeling stuck because you don't know Jesus, or you've got stuff going on that feels too big, or actually you're not sure that you believe that he's interested in your prayers. You're not sure that you can trust him. Or actually, the person that came to mind to forgive is just too hard. You don't know that you can do that. Whatever it is that is sticking you in your relationship with Jesus this morning, please don't stay stuck. We would love to help you move past whatever makes you get stuck.